See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Everything we hear about today, everything we celebrate in this Easter season, starts off with love. And we are children, not servants, not slaves, and therefore as children, we are allowed. We are allowed to be in God's presence. We are allowed to stand rather than grovel. We are allowed to sing and dance and shout and celebrate, or we are allowed to be quiet and still and be. But all of these are permitted, all of these are allowed, because we are children of our Heavenly Father. So therefore, that means we are not there frantically worrying. We are not worried about earning a place there. We are simply, by God's love, children of God, and therefore allowed, present there. And then we come to that reading that we heard there from 1 John. And we come to that thing that says, no one who abides in him sins. And I hear the alarm bells going off, because we know as humans all of us sin. Does that mean I don't remain in God? Does that mean somehow I've blotted my copybook? Does that suddenly mean that things are my fault? Am I not a child anymore? And then that worry immediately comes in, because we're not resting in the fact that we are children. But instead, as soon as we hear those words, that chain of guilt goes off instead. But rather than a reproof, that is simply a statement. It might even read, when we abide in him, we do not sin. Who would sin when in the presence of God? All that we do that is wrong are the times when we step away from being in the presence. Times we run away, times we turn round, times we forget, times we listen to the whispers of evil around us and do those things, whether willfully or unwittingly. But the thing is that we have this option in front of us as children, not as slaves who will therefore be dismissed when we put one foot wrong, but as children, as soon as we are aware of that wrong we do, to simply turn round, as we see in the picture at the front. Just turn right round. That is what repentance is. Turn round. Go back to God. Go back into the presence where you don't want to do anything ill. You don't want to do that thing which is wrong. There is something in us. I don't know whether it's about our upbringing. I don't know whether it's about our society or a combination of those and our history, that makes us want to wallow in that very sin. Makes us want to feel that we are really, really bad and we're really, really sorry. But if you've ever had a falling out with somebody else, you don't want them to keep on going on about what they've done wrong. You want to simply be able to say, that's all right. Let's start again. Let's go on with the thing that we were doing that was fun and glorious and marvelous. And somehow we've been led to believe that God is not like that. But if our best friends are like that, surely God will be better still. Yet still better than the best friend we know. We see in the time that Jesus meets with the disciples just how kind and patient he is. I wonder what words you would have chosen when you suddenly appeared to disciples who thought that you were dead. But Jesus comes amongst them and says, peace be with you. But all of them jump a mile. The words are startled and terrified. And who wouldn't be? Even if they weren't there at the foot of the cross like some of them were, they knew perfectly well. There Jesus had been crucified, and he was dead. And then there was some stories that came about afterwards. And they had heard some of the stories, and some people amongst them had said different things, and some of them had said they'd met with Jesus. But that's all quite different when you're hearing somebody else and you're going, well, I'm not sure. Death surely is final. This sort of thing doesn't happen. And suddenly, ba-boom, Jesus is in their midst. And they have to come face to face with that reality and try and work out what to make of this. And Jesus is infinitely kind. Rather than saying, how dare you not believe in me? I'm right here in front of you. He gently leads them through the proofs of his presence. He leads them through that touch. Okay, you can see them, but look, these are my hands. This is my body. And you can see I've got flesh and bone on them. You can even touch them. And I'll tell you what else. I'll eat in your presence as well. And you'll see that I've eaten physical food. Know that I'm actually alive. I'm not some ghost. I'm not some projection in your head that you've made up. I'm not even some indigestion. I am really here in your presence. And that fish has gone, and you can touch me, you can see me. I'm here. Because Jesus then wants them, the disciples, to have that mission given to them, to go out to all nations and proclaiming repentance and forgiveness of sins. Repentance and forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness is there with the repentance. It is not the calling forth, the thunder and the lightning going, right, I'm back. And now you lot are really going to pay for it. It's actually a loving father holding out his hands and saying, turn round. Just like the father in earlier in Scripture in the Old Testament, all day long I held out my hands to a disobedient people. So it is again. Turn round. Repentance. And the forgiveness of sins, because all of that has been wiped out. And thinking about the disciples' reaction, thinking about our own reaction to sin, repentance, and forgiveness, I wonder how often we ourselves forget to repent. Or maybe we just bury some little thing deeper within ourselves. Maybe we just push away some of our troubles away from the light of God and think that deep dark place will be proof against your light because I can't bear to tell you about that. Or we think perhaps, I can't believe it, I've done it wrong again. And we're horrified by this failure. Or perhaps we have this feeling of impending punishment over us and think perhaps if we can just escape it, God won't know. And maybe we wonder about God's love. Is it really as free as we've heard? Is that acceptance really there? How would God really think about us if we knew who we really were? And all of that spiraling doubt leads us down into that place where we think that repentance is the same word as abasement. And we think that repentance has to be about accepting what a worthless, dreadful person we are and how very many the things we are that we do wrong. And we become forever fixed in a Good Friday, forever fixed on the sins that Jesus took away, rather than the forgiveness and the repentance God offers through Jesus and through the cross into resurrection. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. What were the words that Christ said from the cross? Were they, God, I can't believe they've done this to me. You strike them down. or where they, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. We hear earlier in Acts, I know you acted out of ignorance, and so did your leaders. Because fundamentally, and this is so important, we are children. No matter how much we think we've grown up, no matter what we think we have achieved or done, the whole sum of human endeavor is to God like toys in a sandbox. And so God's love for us is that of a parent for children. For children that do things wrong. But God always wants to just reach out to us and bring us back like a loving parent will with a child that simply got it wrong. And God wants us to just turn round and be one with God once more. The story starts with love, and it continues with love, and finishes with love. Forget about all the rubbish that you've heard, and accept that God loves you. And if you find that you've done something that you feel is wrong, tell God about it. Just make that U-turn straight back into forgiveness and back into God's presence. Because that is freely given. And that is what we as Christians should and can proclaim to all nations. The repentance and then the forgiveness of sins. And the presence with God now and always.